Welcome to the Glasgow Short Film Festival 2022 podcast. I'm Sana Yuhul, the festival's programme director, and I'm very pleased that these GSFF 22 podcast episodes complement our first in-person event since 2019. For our 15th edition, we are back in our usual venues, Centre for Contemporary Arts, Civic House and Glasgow Film Theatre, from Wednesday the 23rd to Sunday the 27th of March. This year's lineup includes revolutionary and avant-garde archive documentaries, as well as new and contemporary works that interrogate notions of objectivity, alongside speculative fictions, interweaving threads on ecology and technology, and much more. We also celebrate Scotland's Year of Stories, both in our competition programmes and our special public and industry events. In this episode, you will hear from Spanish filmmaker Diana Tucedo, who directed the 45-minute experimental and part-animated documentary Camille and Ulysse, in which philosophers and writers Donna Haraway and Vinciane Desprez read from their own fabulations. Camille and Ulysse tell the interwoven stories of the first generation of their communities of humans and non-humans, the communities of Compost. This conversation is hosted by Ana Lopez from A&E Collective, who curated the Ecospectrality strand at GSFF this year. You will hear more about her programmes at the end of the episode. You can find out about the entire programme on glasgowshort.org, where you can also find out which elements of the programme you can access online.
Hola, Diana. It's a pleasure to get to talk to you about Camille and Ulysse. I actually first saw your film back in August of 2021, I think it was, at CCCB, or Centre for Contemporary Culture in Barcelona. Will be a translation. I always like to visit the museum because it's got this really kind of ecologically minded program. And I remember being really nicely like lulled by the storytelling in your film. And I wonder if you can maybe talk a little bit about context of the exhibition and how your film fitted in. Because I remember, if I remember correctly, I think it was part of a section called Historias de los Orígenes or History of Origin.
Yeah, thank you. I'm also like really happy to be here to comment or speak or have an informal conversation about the film and the process. Yeah, as you have said, the premiere or the first screening that we had was there in the CCCB, in that contemporary art center here in the center of Barcelona. And this film was started as a commission film for that exhibition that you are speaking about. Science Frictions was the name of the exhibition, that I think that it will be also touring around a little bit. So I hope that, I don't know, it could arrive also to England or to Glasgow. The exhibition was trying to formulate new ways of understanding like a species, multi-species in such a huge term, in the sense that a lot of new knowledge from science till art or also music or also kind of experiments in relation with filmmaking, but also with another kinds of making in a very general way. So my film was in that third part, that, as you are saying. And the curators of the exhibition that was Maria Petecuca, that she's a curator that has been working with the work of Donna Haraway for a long time ago. She has also made some publications, and she was really into creating something new with Donna as well for this film. Also, Jordi Costa, that he's the main curator at the CCCB, he was also thinking on making maybe an audiovisual piece to feed also the exhibition. And they arrived to that Camille stories that was part of staying with the travel. It's like, I think it's the last chapter or almost the last one in the book of Donna Haraway. And they were, inviting me to make something with that, and also to make a conversation with Vinciane Desprez. That's what you have right now on the film. Also, that relation between two of them is really amazing, because they are not, I don't know how to say, like sometimes philosophers, they don't work together, or they develop their own career by their own. And for me, it was fascinating how both of them, they are working together, sharing all the knowledge, sharing also that stories or that fabulation about a possible future. So that Camille's stories and Yuli's stories as well arrives to my hands to say, okay, let's do something more from the text. And it was really challenging because the text is pretty complex in the sense that you have a lot of layers, you have a lot of also like a fabulation of 400 years to the future. So how we can create that kind of science fiction or that future right now, but without illustrating. For me, was a crucial point. Vincian and Donna's work is based more in that capacity. They try to trigger your imagination or your capacity to imagine. So for me, it was really important to keep that kind of triggering, to keep that kind of invitation or evocation to fabulate and to imagine yourself, but with my images. So it was like some kind of the first challenge that I had as a filmmaker. But I think that, at the end, I think it's, I don't know, a space that in between you can be in the real and material image that you have in front of you. And on the other hand, that you can have that space for fabulating as well.
I think that falls really nicely into this question I had about the visuals. Because you're talking about like visualizing their words and their words and their worlds. And I'm thinking about this 3D images that we see sometimes in the screen, and sometimes like coming behind Donna, behind Vinciana. And I was wondering, for me, they're not the kind of traditional narrative or illustrative. They're more like suggestive. And I wonder if you agree and with it you want to talk about.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that question, because it's also central in the film. Because another thing that we were also reflecting or trying to reflect a lot is how we can make a film in between that museum or exhibition space and, on the other hand, like documentary or like I don't know, films or feature length films can go around in festivals and other theater distribution or whatever. So with that, we were thinking that for sure being 46 minutes in an exhibition there waiting or standing, seeing the film was something like very demanding maybe to an audience. But on the other hand, I would like to film Donna and Vincian reading themselves as a political act of the presence and the reading itself, no? So that standing there and being there, like almost like speaking to you directly as an audience, could be something that can attract you or can keep you there. But in that fabulation or in that imagination of these future moments that we can have, and also not to have them all the time reading like some kind of a very raw image. We were also trying to implicate or trying to get on board another artists that were also working with or inspired by Donna and Vincian's work. So this couple, this artistic couple that they are living in Paris, they have been creating that xenomorphs, that they are these characters that they are on the film. And the xenomorphs, it's amazing because they are not 3D. Although all the people, that you can see the film in a regular context, you of course can think that they are regular animation or 3D animation, but they are artificial intelligence. So that's the theme that we also wanted to implement in the film, and it was also another challenge, because these characters, they are living before the film. So we really get in love with that idea that they have programmed these characters and they are in that software living all the time. So we don't know what they are going to do. We don't know what or how they are going to move or react or act. So it was some kind of, I don't know, like grasping or filming that characters inside their own worlds without, I don't know, any kind of expectation, because I could not expect anything particular. And we thought that also it would be great to have something more that was not only on the film, because that art piece or artificial intelligence environment is also still going on and living apart the film. So we wanted also to introduce that kind of characters that were also customized with all that non-human or symbiotic elements around them, that we also thought that was something great to have there in the film as well.
That's great. That's making me think about your film as almost being like this bag of seeds, or like it's somehow really like fertilizing, right? Because it's like, it's not just the film that's observing something, it's like a bag holding all these millions of layers that you're playing with, right? And it's like they're all living in this place. And it's interesting because I think I've watched the film about 3 or 4 times. And of course, the first time will have been in the exhibition, and you maybe don't catch it right from the beginning, or you catch it in the middle. And I like that it somehow doesn't have like a beginning and an end, or like it plays a lot with this time suspension, and it's kind of like mixing like past, present, and future, right? It's got this really, yeah, nice idea of being suspended in time. And I was wondering, how does that fit into your other work as well? Because you also, I wonder if you can talk a little bit about this term that I think I've heard Donna coined, term of cinema genesis, and this idea of, you know, like how cinema plays with time.
Yeah, so many things. I don't know what, for which I can start. But yeah, something that was also hard to think in the beginning was how we can make that multi-species storytelling that both of them were proposing in the text. So how we can represent, how we can create images from that conception of or perspective or position to open our minds, I don't know, or be outside our human perspective and try to think about that multi-species. So this was also something that in the middle of the film, I have that scene animagenesis moment where we go into, or I don't know, I'm trying to, that you can go into the butterfly perception, the butterfly fly, and how you can, I don't know, feel it or embody it as some way. So this multi-species narration or fabulation was something very important to try to put it there as well in the film. So I was also trying to think which kind of images from which kind of positions I could film, and I could also play with the edit in that sense, or the editing, sorry, to get to that places. And also that scene animagenesis, that it is great that you mix it with cinema genesis, that it is something that maybe we can work with as well. So maybe I can use it for my students. Yeah, I really love that. But this cinema genesis is a notion of Donna that for me also in the beginning was really complex, and we were speaking a lot about that, trying to understand what she wanted to say about with that. And of course, I don't know, a very simplistic way of explaining it is making together, no, or doing together, or being together, and also dying together, because all the film at last is speaking about life, but also death, and how all these times that you have also mentioned, and it's really great that you find a term of suspended. Because for me as a filmmaker also, and also I'm a film editor, so time is one of the crucial elements for us as filmmakers or editors, that we need to create the time on the films. And the time is creating emotions, is creating characters, is creating the story at the end. But that capacity of Donna and Vinciane of condensing such a huge amount of years and time into such a small writing piece, I was also thinking that at the end, cinema is the art that can make that a lot, in the sense that we can be living in different times at the same moment. We can make a jump cut or an ellipsis or a flashback or whatever of these cinematic terms that we can call. And we are in the past, but we are in the present, and we can be in the future and go back again. So this playfulness of time, it was something that I was very worried with or concerned about how we can represent that. And I have not a solution or a concrete answer to answer you how I made it, but it is something to explore or doing some kind of iterations where you try to, I don't know, to find creative solutions with different things and arrive to an outcome that can fit into the film.
I think it's great that you say you don't have solutions, because I feel like that's kind of the point of the film, right? It's like, it's all about like offering different paths and corridors, you know, how Donna speaks a lot about corridors and possibilities in different worlds. But it's about being maybe like uncomfortable and not necessarily having the answers for everything, right? And I think the film does that really well, of like putting you into this world or multiple worlds and multiple possibilities that you don't quite grasp fully, but you feel immersed into them in a way that you're not used to because of those different temporalities or different levels, right? I really like how these locations, like at first glance, they look like normal or idyllic, or like, you know, they give you this feeling of like restfulness. You know, we see them like in their own spaces, but then also they have this like hidden things of, yeah, this absence, right? There's things that are missing, but we don't see them. And it's making me think about this becoming another layer on the film, like ghostly presences, death, absence, and how it kind of fits as well into your previous work. I'm thinking about 30 Lumes. I don't know if you find those connections, but yeah, I was thinking how like, or absence, this playfulness between what's present and what isn't absent.
Yeah, definitely. It is also like a crucial point that in the beginning, when I started to work on the text, I was like, oh, but I cannot see the connection with my previous work. And the curator, Jordi Costa, was telling me, Diana, your work is absolutely connected with them. So I was seeing Donna and Vincent work so also in relation with science, with another disciplines that for me were not very, very familiar, that I was like, okay, really, I'm into it. I'm not really sure. But afterwards and working little by little, I could arrive also to that point that you are mentioning, the absences, and also the relation with nature and how nature is embodying us, and also we embody the nature itself. So I think that, yes, definitely at the end, a lot of crossing paths and I don't know, concepts, ideas, and in some sense obsessions also, because I was discovering them like by doing that. At the end, you are obsessed with some ideas or with some concepts that farther on you are developing on your own work.
That's great, thank you. I'm glad I got it right, your connection. I just want to say that I really admire how you've orchestrated all these elements, and almost you can't, it's really seamless, and at the same time as colors it seems, if you know what I mean, because it is porous in the same way that Donna's and Vincent's narratives have different readings, but you've managed to put all these little like layers and things together in a way that, yeah, it's just really satisfying and beautiful to watch, and I hope that people come to the screening and enjoy it as well.
Thank you very much. That I hope that, yeah, people can enjoy it, and maybe I could recommend them to open the body and to let them go, because the experience is in relation with that, to let you go and fabulate and see what you can imagine, because imagination maybe is the most powerful thing that we have right now to create a new future.
Yeah, and I'm really glad that people are gonna get to see this in a cinema rather than in your computer, because all these films are for cinema, but there's something, you know, more sensorial, and also to be with other people in the room and feel part of something that you can, you know, you can build different worlds with those people. So
we hope you enjoyed the conversation between Diana Tocedo and Ana Lopez. To close the episode, you'll now hear more from Anna as I ask her about the beautiful strand she put together for GSFF 22. Hi, Anna. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
So listeners will have just heard your chat with Diana about Camille and Ulysse. I'm really looking forward to hearing that as well, because I haven't yet. But I would like to chat to you a bit now about the strand that you've curated for us for GSFF 22, Ecospectrality, which includes two shorts programs, Residual Fabulations and Tentacular Frequencies. So first of all, thank you very much for all the beautiful work that has gone into that. Did you enjoy it? At least.
Yeah, I was going to say it's my pleasure. I have enjoyed it. I think it's been challenging. I think it's been more challenging than I thought it would be. And I think it's because perhaps I think as a creator, you have like responsibility, but it becomes bigger when you're working with ecology. I think this is like a bigger weight, but I have enjoyed it. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, we can maybe talk about some of the challenges as we go. I thought maybe we could start a bit about how and why we got you involved, because you're obviously also on our pre-selection team for the competition. So there was a relationship there. But the primary reason I came to you with this was because of your involvement with the A&E Collective, which works around arts and ecological consciousness. And I thought maybe you could explain a bit about that, about the collective and your interests and your work so far.
Yeah, so I've been working with A&E, which stands for, I guess, Art and Ecology, more recently Art and Emergency, because we feel like it's an emergency now. So I've been working since I graduated from GSA in 2017. I think we came together in the midst of like not only ecological but also post-graduation anxiety, like a mix of anxieties, with the hope of creating and compiling, I guess, of creating work that would awaken people's imagination or an investment in a better world. So I think from the very beginning, we've been really interested in like mental health, because we're all like kind of eco-anxiety, but also the value of storytelling in terms of survival and crisis. And then we've got a big focus on the modern human. So I guess, yeah, my work has been both within and beyond any kind of always avoids giving like a one way or a linear answer, a solution, because I don't think there's a solution. But I'm more interested about like unlearning or inviting people to unlearn and tackling people's curiosity. You know, like my work has been looking a lot about ways of resisting, obviously, capitalism, because that's inseparable from the climate crisis or ecology, sadly. And like, I guess, alternative ways of practicing activism. And of course, one can be cinema. And I'm more interested about like quiet activism, such as things like, you know, like radical passivity, like resting or looking to, yeah, like dreaming, like as a powerful tool for resisting or like understanding like collective grief. So that's kind of in a nutshell what A&E does, I guess.
I mean, you work across, the collective works across art forms, but am I right in saying that you're primarily focusing on film in what you do?
Yeah, in the recent years, I think since the beginning of the pandemic, I've been focused more on film. And I guess my background more in like the past has been focused on photography and like, yeah, I guess more like visual. So it makes sense for me to then move into film.
I guess I then came to you with a pretty vague proposal to put something together for us this year, which I think was also in the middle of COP or just before it, because which you were doing things for and it was really busy. So, you know, my apologies for that. I think we started with the idea of a single program, but for various reasons, that's now ended up in a two program strand as well. So I guess when we sort of first spoke about it, where did you start? Like, how did you end up with this particular framework around spectrality and, you know, ghosts in our environment? Like, was that something that you'd been looking at already, or was that kind of a new thing you wanted to explore?
Yeah, I think, well, my start was more, I think I set myself this really impossible task that I obviously had to abandon about making something like a bit lighthearted or fun or playful. And obviously that's not possible, because that's kind of what we do at A&E as well. We try to look at also just the everydays and pleasures and pains of living in the Anthropocene, right? So obviously that was a bit harder than I thought it would be. But I was quite happy actually that I expanded from one program to two, because then I could like explore like kind of the same ideas but from different perspectives. Sometimes it can feel a bit like hard to choose the films for just one program, or it feels a bit cluttered. But when you can split things up, it's quite nice to have like two ways or two paths. And this idea of spectrality, I think it came, I kind of borrowed or I got inspired by Timothy Morton, which it's been quite a reference for me for quite a while. And they talk about spectrality as, and within their book, actually, Humankind, it's about like modern human solidarity with modern human and kindness. And they talk about encountering ecological beings as being that being like a way of being haunted. And this idea of us not realizing that, you know, we are also part of the modern human, like our bodies are full of stuff that, yeah, modern human, but yet we can't see it as something that's our own. So it's this, yeah, I think I've always been really interested about like spectrals and like absences and ghostly presences and, yeah, like residues and things like that. And I think it's an interesting way of also looking at the past, like not forgetting that there's a past, to then be able to build a future. Yeah, it's a way of approaching like the past with an intention of learning from it and then move on, if that makes sense, but not forgetting that that's there.
Yeah, because it's really interesting, because I don't think actually we've had that we had sort of these conversations, you know, over WhatsApp and email, but it's actually quite nice hearing you talk about it. What do you feel in your approach, or how did it split into the two programs that are there now, and there are sort of slightly different angles on it? Were there any films that were particular starting points to that?
There's something that, because you asked me like what was my inspiration and how it came about, I think I also, knowing that Camille and Elise was going to be part of the program, and I knew that was kind of bridging between, you know, your tech program and the kind of ecological start. And I think, because again, I don't know how it's been a reference for me, it's the same way as Timothy Morton. I think I try to, yeah, connect to Donna Haraway's idea of like, you know, the importance of storytelling and this idea of like the art of noticing. And as I said before, like kind of making people curious rather than telling them what to do, but like putting people in a place where they can visualize things in a different way, or like it's a way of, yeah, like tackling into the imagination rather than giving the straight or like a linear answer. So I think, yeah, I really wanted to explore like two different things. One was more about, yeah, residual fabulations, which is like stories from the past, but also connecting to the present and the future, and the importance of that in people's subconscious. And then the other one was more about curiosity towards wanting to inhabit like the world of the modern human. So this idea of frequencies and wanted to listen a bit more carefully. I think there's a lot about attention there.
No, I was just thinking about some of the stuff you said. Obviously, Camille and Elise was quite a natural one. And I mean, I really loved it when I told you that I'd seen it and I wanted to screen it, that you had already seen it and also loved it. So it sort of felt like that sort of naturally fell into place. But I think then there's other things, as you said, that there's some things in your program that kind of highlight this relationship between environment and technology, which then feeds into the techno-fix problem as well. And even this idea of fabulations, you know, we're sort of focusing really on, because it's the year of storytelling in Scotland, so like that's kind of something we're really thinking about this year as well, like how, you know, how stories can help us make sense or maybe realize that we can't make sense of things. So it's sort of like quite organically like fallen into place all of this, which is really lovely. And I also wonder how you feel about, I guess, with the result of it, because the entire program, I think there's a lot of it that kind of pulls you into this sense of eeriness that maybe is particularly unsettling and resonant after the last years, because there's been these increased natural disasters, obviously, but also all of us have been inside a lot and maybe not engaging with our environments as much as we would have. So I'm kind of also wondering about if that played a role in putting it together.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a feeling of unsettling, or like I think again, and this comes back to the idea of responsibility and not wanting to depress people, because there's many other reasons why people are already depressed. But there's also this feeling of like, okay, the subjects are also heavy, and sometimes that heaviness is not necessarily a bad thing. It's, I guess, depends of how you put things together. And I think I was quite glad there were like elements of like fantasy and, yeah, and I guess the storytelling does help in a way that brings things, it's not like it makes them more familiar, but yeah, it's like it allows you to inhabit these worlds. It's like a practice run. It's like you're rehearsing to be in these worlds that we might be in the future. So I think a lot of these films are like practicing this like speculative scenarios of what if, you know, what's going to happen, this is perhaps going to look like this or like that. And I think that sentences, it's like preparing the mind, if that makes sense.
I think it's really lovely to hear you talk about it. And obviously people are going to get a chance to hear more about it at the festival. So I guess, like, to wrap up maybe as a plug, what's really nice and sort of unexpected in a way is that for the Residual Fabulations program, we've got three filmmakers attending who will partake in a little Q&A after that program. But then also you're doing the wider conversation after Camille and Ulysse. So I was maybe you could just quickly say, like, who that involves and what that's going to be about to get audiences excited.
Yeah, so Camille and Ulysse, yeah, it's going to be followed by a nice panel discussion with Janina, who's, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing people's names correctly, one of the filmmakers of the Residual Fabulations program, which is Group Here and the Machine of Destiny. And then we also have Rhys Williams, which is an academic of Glasgow University working with literature and fantasy. I think that's going to be great. And I've personally worked with Rhys before, and I think they're both great.
Everyone's a big Donna Haraway fan on that panel.
Yes, yes. I mean, yeah, I think, but I like to think that also the film, it goes beyond Donna Haraway fans, because yeah. I think, like, what I like about her is that she's quite, it's quite complex, but at the same time, because it brings in the storytelling, it's quite accessible, like quite approachable, which is what I like about stories. So, but yeah, both great Donna Haraway fans, same as myself. And then the Q&A, yeah, I'm really lucky that three of the filmmakers are going to be here. Fanny from Neoma, also local people, George Finlay with his film, Caster Thing, and then Janina again. So yeah, I think it's going to be really nice to hear the thoughts and actually interact with some humans and talk about stories and the kind of role in, like, you know, fertilizing and serving as a way of moving through the issues that we're currently experiencing, whether that's, you know, ecology or bigger issues, then the kind of ecology is kind of everything. But yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Before we finish, a few shout-outs. Glasgow Short Film Festival is made possible thanks to the generous support of Screen Scotland and Film Hub Scotland. We also thank all our supporters, sponsors, venue and programme partners, and of course you, our audience. This podcast was produced for us by Halina Rifai, with music by Louis ten Hertog. We'd love to hear your responses to the episode and our festival programme, so get in touch. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Glasgow Short. Enjoy the festival!